Are you ready?
What'd you say?
I said, are you ready? Welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of this series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I got a hole in the back of my mouth.
Oh, now did you end up having dry socket?
I am not sure because it's not. There's like a little bit of a blood clot in the back. For those of you just joining us, I had a molar extracted last week. And my worry, of course, was getting a dry socket. That's where the blood clot, which forms, is then used by your body to create new gum line. If it goes dry, it can be very painful. And it can also just prolong agony. It could cause an infection. Whatever, everything you do could cause an infection. It's not a big deal. I don't know if I do, because when I look, and I basically, you know, shine a flashlight in and look in a mirror, it's like a little bit of blood down there. It looks like a little socket, but it's a lot deeper than I would have expected it. And it's kind of like when I look at the white, I'm like, is that new gum tissue or is it my jaw? So as it is, it doesn't ache. I don't have, there's certain signs of a dry socket, ache. That goes like up into your ears. You ever have one of those toothaches where it just goes up into your ear and down your throat?
It's because thankfully it's like I have not had that.
Oh my gosh. It's just, there's a single nerve that apparently goes through the whole thing, which is what irritates that. Bad breath is another sign of an infection and it could be bad. So I don't think I do. I got to keep my tongue away because it's really weird feeling like where the tooth used to be. I haven't chewed on that side, and I've done everything you're supposed to. I don't suck through a straw. I didn't smoke. I was eating soft food. I gotta tell you, someday if you're very, very bored, go to the supermarket and look for soft food. The craziest crap I found at Target was a thing called mush. Wasn't in the baby aisle. It's basically cold oats, steel cut oats soaked till they're soggy, yeah, and then flavor added. Ugh. The blueberry one wasn't bad.
At the group home, we have clients who they have to have everything pureed, or mm-hmm, they have to have everything cut pea-sized. And one of the clients, everything has to be cut pea-sized and moistened.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that too. They said, be careful of dry foods. I'm back on a regular diet. I'm still chewing on the one side of the mouth. So just, I think it's going to take 2-3 weeks for it to heal up. And it seems to be healing. If not, if I do get the pain, whatever, I'll just call the dentist and go in and have them look at it. But other than
Now your headset sounds like it's rumbling over there. Is there an earthquake going on?
Nope, that's my old headset. Remember, it's very creaky, and every time I move, the wires creak with it.
Oh, this wasn't creaking. It was everything sound. There was a low rumble, like, and I was wondering if maybe, you know, you'd been playing Doom.
Let me try something. Is it gone?
Yes.
Oh, that's my heater, because it's, despite the fact that our weather in Minnesota has been bug-ass crazy. We were 60 degrees on Sunday.
No. We hit 70 because I was outside for it.
That was yesterday. Sunday.
That was Sunday.
Was it 70? Okay, I got 60. Yeah. And then Wednesday, it was 20. Actually, when I went to work and came back, my car never went above 12.
What was fascinating yesterday I was at the group home. And for those of you who don't realize that we are in Minnesota, that's why we talk weather. I was at the group home, and we haven't had weather where the clients can be outside. So one of the clients who's wheelchair bound, I and the neighbors were playing fetch with their dog. I got us out on the deck, set up my phone so we could listen to music, and we sat out, and it was 70 degrees because that's what my phone said it was. And we watched all that, and we went in. She was tired and wanted to go inside at about 3:30. I left for home at 5. It had dropped 15 degrees in that hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then this morning, the high, well, today's high was 40. So we're just bouncing all over the place, but it was nice to get out yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday we broke 2 records. Not only was the 70 degree mark a record, because the previous one was like 60 back in 1904, but this is the earliest it's been 70 in recorded Minnesota weather history. So we got that going for us,
which is nice.
Meanwhile, my daughter's out in the Sierras. Well, she's not in Sierra, she's in Reno. They got like 8 inches of snow on the valley floor, and by the time I talked to her on Monday, it was it's melting already. Obviously not up in the Sierras where they got like 10 feet of snow. People are like, how do they live there? And I said, well, where it gets 10 feet of snow, I don't think people live. Truckee, the place I talked about in a previous podcast this year, they got several feet of snow. And it was interesting because they closed the highway down. If you didn't have chains, you weren't allowed on the road. They shut down the ski resorts in South Tahoe. They even shut down Yosemite National Park. They said they can't tell you to leave, but they said, we advise everybody to leave, evacuate. So, yeah, that's the type of weather when you know it's coming, you just batten down the hatches. Fortunately, or unfortunately, the stuff Dana had planned was canceled before the snowstorm hit, which worked out fine. They just stay at home. And one of my buddies at work was telling me he was driving home from Oklahoma or Texas, and they went through Oklahoma, and Oklahoma had like a snow event where it was like an inch of snow. Now for Oklahomans, that's a big panic because they don't get snow and they don't know how to drive in it. So as they're driving along the interstate, all of a sudden they get pulled over by a cop. And as a trooper comes out, he says, what was wrong with you? Don't you know about the blizzard coming? I need to see your driver's license. He saw the driver's license, Minnesota. Never mind. Take care. So, yes, we know how to do it here. Anyways, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, I got my previews this week.
Yes, and I was able to score mine last week. So it's time to talk previews. Now we have the previews in question is number 426, March 24 for stuff 2 months from now. So that'd be May. And of course, this is a interactive podcast, so you can come along and follow us on the pages, including DC Connect number 46 and Marvel number 30 free previews. Now, I don't know, Corey, did you get the IDW catalog?
I did not.
I got an IDW monthly catalog, which I thought was really interesting. Because it has exactly the same thing that's in previews, but a little bit more. Basically full pages of stuff. And I'll talk about that when we get to IDW. But yep. I went along with the previews because I wasn't sure. Does this mean IDW is not in previews anymore?
No, it's still in.
Yeah, and we know that IDW kind of cut all the non-licensee stuff.
Yep.
Or did they? Talk about that when we get there. We always like to start out because Corey does a real in-depth interview of who's on the cover. Oh, my.
Well, on
Titan.
On cover number one, the new Gun Honey miniseries, which is from Hard Case Crime, is on the cover. And the Adam Hughes cover here is a woman in a bikini, and it's why I did not bring this to the group home when I got it Friday. Because I did not want the clients to be going, oh, what's that?
I know.
Then on the back, we are getting a new Space Ghost series from Dynamite. which means that Warner has licensed it out rather than having DC do it.
That's not the Adam Hughes cover.
Oh, it's not?
No, that's the Derek Chu cover.
Oh, okay.
But they do advertise. There is an Adam Hughes cover. Matter of fact, when we get the Gun Honey, which is one of my picks, we'll talk a bit about which cover you would choose if you're so inclined to buy.
And then on the spine, Toxic Summer, A Mutant Party Nightmare from Oni Press. These are comics that are coming out in May. We will start with the DC Connect.
Yes. So let's go ahead and grab your DC Connects. Again, number 46. I'm going to start right off on page 2. The Boy Wonder number 1, written by Juni Ba. And I think art and cover as well.
Yes.
The young prince, Damon Wayne, was raised to be the heir to the fearsome League of Assassins to follow in the footsteps of his deadly mother, Talia. Never get that right. And, of course, the demon head himself, his grandfather, Ra's Ghul. But everything changed.
Ra's al Ghul.
I go Ra's. It's just submariner, not submariner. Anyways.
And the only reason I know it's Ra's is because that's how it was pronounced on the Batman Adventures cartoon.
Ah, that's good enough for me.
And the movie. So
everything changed when his father, the Batman, reclaimed him and brought him back to Gotham City. As Robin, young Damian suddenly discovered he was merely one of a number of princesses preceded in role by his brothers Nightwing, Red Hood, and Red Robin. And Damian doesn't care to be merely anything, but when his father is forced to leave the city on urgent business and a rash of abductions is accompanied by whispers of a demon stalking Gotham's dark alleys, Damian will find himself battling alongside his adopted brothers and in the process, learning what the mantle of Robin really means. This is a 5-issue series. On page 3, you get some preview art, so you can decide if you like it, or you can do what Corey and I often do. We just wait for the graphic novel.
This looks really cool. I'm excited about it. It also, it's black label, which means there's swearing.
No naked Batcave walks.
And they say this synthesizes the character's complex history into an accessible and heartrending fairy tale. So I don't know if that means this is in continuity or out of continuity, but it looks very cool. And that's really the only number one this month. So really strange that DC is just put a halt on new series.
Because the next thing I got is not till the facsimile editions.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in it. I'm on the fence about this one. I think, again, I'm not saying DC is copying Marvel, but I don't care because it's a brilliant idea. DC's redoing their Crisis on Infinite Earths in facsimile editions. So if you've never really picked this up before in any type of format, this is your chance to jump along with it, because they're obviously going to do all 12 issues. I find it interesting because, again, they're doing it with Secret Wars over Marvel. I haven't decided if I'm going to buy it, though, because I do have not only a paperback of it, but I also have it in the Absolute Edition. And so I'm kind of like, I don't know if I need this. I also bought, if you remember way back when on Issues Needed, a big block set.
Yes.
It has half price. It has everything in it.
You did not get that at Issues Needed, Joe. You got that at Mind's Eye.
Mind's Eye. Thank you.
Because remember, he was selling everything at 50% off.
I got some words on Mind's Eye, too, but we're going to wait till geeking for that. So, I don't know if I'm going to pick these up. Are you going to pick these up, Corey?
I am not. I've got the comics. I've got a trade paperback, and I've got the Absolute. I don't need more. But on the next page, Military Comics number 1 facsimile edition. This is the first appearance of Black Hawk, which was a fantastic comic during World War II. It lasted a long time into the 60s, where DC screwed it up by making them superheroes and then fixed it too late because there were only like 3 issues after that. But then there was the Mark Evanier, Dan Spiegel run of Blackhawk, which was amazing. Then the Howard Chaykin reimagining, but this is the original. I have not ever read this, so I'm looking forward to it. Here's my problem, though. They don't have foil covers. I would have picked up that Crisis number one with a foil cover, because that art on foil would be amazing.
Yeah, I would probably do the foil cover as well. I may pick up the issue that has the death of Supergirl, just because I'm a Supergirl collector, the original. And again, I have these in various forms. I will pick up the other two, though, the Military Comics and the Army at War. I think that's Sergeant Rock's first appearance, right?
Yes, that is the first appearance of Sergeant Rock.
No foils, though. Come on, DC, we want our foils.
When it comes to collected editions, on page 41, there is a deluxe edition of Supergirl World of Tomorrow, which was a Tom King, Bilkis Evely maxi series that went 12 issues, which James Gunn has said is one of the books that he is basing his DC movies on. This was a fantastic run, by the way. It basically, Supergirl goes out from Earth and gets involved in other aliens' lives. While she just wanted to get a vacation, she is drawn in, and it redefines the character in a lot of ways. Because Supergirl really, first off, since Crisis, it's been a mess. We had the Supergirl that was the weird protoplasm clone thing. We then had the Peter David where Supergirl was an angel who had been bonded to an Earth woman. And then finally we have the Supergirl who is the cousin of Superman, which looked really beautiful because it was by Michael Turner, but it was written as if she had the IQ of a houseplant. This kind of redefines Supergirl, gives her her own personality. It's a great, great story. And it's Tom King. I love Tom King.
I'm tempted on this one.
If you've not read it, you need to get it.
I'm a poor, person. I may need to wait till the inevitable trade. But it might be worth it. The only thing is that there's a lot of omnibuses I got. Matter of fact, I was going to point out one which I'm not getting because this is one I may get. Batman and Robin Adventures Omnibus on page 44. This is the Ty Templeton, Paul Dini, Hillary J. Badger, Kelly Puckett. Basically done in the animated style. I have the first one, Batman Adventures. And it just seems like I might as well get this because then I have pretty much all of it.
Yep, I am picking this one up as well.
Yeah.
And it's not a huge omnibus, but here's the thing. It's around 1,000 pages, but it's only $75.
And what's really weird, because I picked up a collection at SpringCon of a lot of these. The guy was selling them just dirt cheap. And so I don't have all of them, but I do have some of them. And there are a few that have gone crazy in price because generally Joker, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn appearance. The annuals, especially the more in the first run, like the holiday special, is really nuts because it's like early Harley Quinn appearances. And I mean, it's like $50 if you can find it cheap on eBay. Well, here you got the omnibus for $75. So this one I'll probably end up buying. And across from it's another book, Superman by Kurt Busiek, book one. Kurt Busiek, Jeff Johns. Art by Various. It's his own run. Superman 650, 658, Man of Steel Annual, Action Comics, Superman Secret Identity, World Finest. I generally like books like this, but at $50, even being a hardcover, I'm kind of like, I'm a poor comic collector. I may have to wait for...
It is big, though.
It is.
The omnibus is 904 pages for Batman and Robin Adventures. This is $50 for 704 pages, which is really good for DC, because if you go back to that Supergirl Deluxe Edition, it's $50 for 264 pages. Yeah. So,
and again, I'll look, because sometimes you're able to find these at decent deals through various online guy people. The last thing I recommend, something I've got, but if you've never read Justice by Jim Kruger and Alex Ross, here's your chance. The 2024 edition Absolute Justice is right there on page 46. Beautiful art in an absolute format. Just a ball to read. I take this thing out once a year and reread it, because it's just that good. That's pretty much it for me, DC-wise. Anything else you recommend, Corey, or stuff you're looking at?
I had nothing else in DC.
All right. Well, let me dig out the old Marvels. If you've got well over $260, was it? That's how much it'll cost you to buy everything in the Blood Hunt saga. Me, I'm waiting for the omnibus. I am, however, picking up the Blood Hunt Red Band edition that are polybagged, because those tend to have a little bit more gory art. Because basically, Blood Hunt is basically, can I say basically one more time? Basically, the vampires attack. So, and they've been setting this up for a while. Pretty much everybody and their uncle is getting involved somehow. Dracula, the Midnight Sun, Superman, Spider-Man, Venom, Black Panther. Again, if you love crossovers like this, and believe me, after reading the run up to War of the Realm, had I read that, I probably would have jumped on board with the whole thing. But as it is, I'll probably just buy the Blood Hunt itself. And when Marvel comes out with the omnibus, hear that, Marvel come out with the omnibus, I will probably pick it up.
I think they plan these big crossovers for omnibuses, honestly.
I'm fine by that, because to me, that's the best way I'll buy it. And there's a few that I'll pick up, like on page 15, Strange Academy, Blood Hunt. I love Strange Academy, and it's a 3-issue tie-in. I can dig it. Doctor Strange, I'm reading Doctor Strange, so I'll pick up that. And other than that, it's like the first half of the book is all Blood Hunt.
Well, if you go to page 18, we get Spider-Man number 50, which is a 80-page, $10 book. They've been building to this with the whole Norman Osborn had his sins removed from him and he's trying to be better. Peter Parker's working for him, et cetera, et cetera. So they're kind of building to this. But that's not why I want to point it out. I'm pointing it out because Marv Wolfman has a story in it. First time Marv Wolfman has written a Spider-Man story since, I think, 1980. So I loved Marv Wolfman's very short run on Spider-Man. He and Len Wein were the people who wrote Spider-Man when I started reading comics. The Greg Capullo cover looks really awesome as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On page 24, Deadpool Wolverine, World War III, 3-issue miniseries. Marvel's coming back with the 3-issue miniseries again. Remember when they did that in the late 90s? So that way poor retailers have no idea how to gauge this between 1, 2, and 3. Whatever. And it's $4.99, so might wait for the trade, I haven't figured. But it's Joe Kelly, Adam Kubert's doing the art. That's why I'll probably pick this up. I might even pick up the variant cover by Rob Liefeld, just because I like Rob Liefeld. But they have some really good people doing the art. I mean, Inyuk Lee, Gabriel De Otto, and basically, trying to find their... Well, whatever. If you like Deadpool, you like Wolverine, you're going to pick it up, because it's... They don't really talk a lot about it in the description. They're just like, this is the most intensely mismatched team up in comics and pop culture. The best there is in the murk with the mouth. So a little bit of plot line in there, but really, do you need any plot line when you put Deadpool Wolverine with Kubert's art?
If you go to page 28, Doom number one.
Oh, in your head. And tell them who it's by, Hawk.
It's a one-shot written by Jonathan Hickman.
Oh, yeah.
They send Dr. Doom on a journey unlike any he's undertaken before. With Valeria Richards at his side, Doom goes on a quest to harness more power than any human has ever wielded before to try to stop Galactus from bringing about the death of the universe. Yeah, I'm in.
I'm in.
It's weird that it's a 56-page one-shot and they didn't stretch it out to be like either a miniseries or a original graphic novel, but then turn the page and look at that art. Good Lord, that's
nice
beautiful.
Black and white art. You almost want it to. I'd like to see it offered in a black and white edition.
Yeah.
I don't want to put colorists out of business, but Kubert just got away with them. I don't know if I'm buying this. I just laugh at it. Page 32, Helverine. That's right, because you demanded it. I blame you. It's the return of Helverine. When a demonic force known as Braga Ghoul first came to Earth, it brought Logan and Ghost Rider together to hunt it before it possessed Wolverine. But now, in the present day, what events will put Helverine back on the streets? And is he slashing his... Yes, I can hear Corey yawning because, yeah, if you're not into this by now, you'll be yawning at it. But again, if you bought the crossover, here's a four-issue series. I just like saying Helverine. And you got tons of variant covers, and they also show... couple pages in some of the internal art, which looks pretty nice. But I imagine Corey is interested in what's on page 36.
Yes. Garth Ennis, new Nick Fury miniseries. Garth Ennis returns to Marvel with Nick Fury and Frank Castle, as you've never seen them. 71, a war is raging in Vietnam. Nick Fury's been captured by the Viet Cong. At this moment, they don't quite understand that they have in their possession a man who knows enough secrets to damage the U.S. beyond comprehension. The CIA, however, does realize this, and they can't risk their enemy getting those secrets, so they dispatch the most deadly man in the U.S. Army, Lieutenant Frank Castle. All you had to say was Garth Ennis.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And flip the page, giant size X-Men number one.
Not that one.
As Marvel continues to celebrate the giant size, this one is written by Ann Nesenti and drawn by Lee Ferguson. The backup is, I love how they describe the backup, okay? A reprinting of Marvel 2-in-1, a classic Angel and Thing team-up tale of daring drama, Doom, and Disco.
Yep, for me, I don't normally point out non-number ones, but I'm going to point out Edge of Spider-Verse number one because they are touting it as the comic book debut of the Spider-Woman from the smash hit Across the Spider-Verse movie. So if you're a number one guy and you like to hedge your bet against it, since that seems to be the rage these days, you might want to call your comic shop and say, yeah, forget 1 through 3. I want to pick up that number 4 there. And it's also setting up the birth of the Spider Society for the next Spider-Verse storytelling epic.
We do have another X-Men wedding.
I love a good wedding. I love to cry.
If you go to page 56, X-Men, the wedding special. Mystique and Destiny are one of the most beloved and longest-running gay couples in history. Somewhere in their 100-plus years together, the pair married, but we've never seen the event on the page, so they're going to do that. 88 pages for $10, so going to be a lot of backup stories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
For me, the next thing I've got are the facsimiles. You got anything before we hit page 69?
I do want to point out, this is the end of the X-Men.
The end of the X-Men as we know it.
Wolverine number 50 is the last issue. Follow the House of X, Rise of the Power of X, last issues. X-Men 34, last issue. On and on and on. Because this is the end of the previous era of the X-Men, we will start. We're starting to get little hints and press releases and stuff as to what Tom Brevoort has for the X-Men. I want to point out, I'm on the where I get his weekly newsletter. And one of the things he said was they had spent a lot of time working over what they want to do with the next X-Men iteration. He said that when he had his meeting laying out what he did, it was the Marvel upper brass and some Disney upper brass. Not one of them gave notes. They said, go with it.
Sweet. All right. I am just looking up something on the eBays because there is a new printing of New Mutants 98, which is the first appearance of Deadpool, not the Merc with a Mouth that we all know and love, but the it was kind of a Deathstroke rift. And I'm trying to find the previous edition was in 2022. You can find it for cover price plus shipping on the eBays. But if you want to jump on this one, and I don't see variant cover, I don't see any foil. Oh well. On the next page, Amazing Spider-Man 256, Marvel Secret Wars number 5, facsimile on both. And then across from it's the one I'll probably get because I didn't think enough to keep my original copy. Avengers Annual 10 facsimile edition, which is reprinting Avengers Annual 10, which is the first appearance of Rogue, the reappearance of Carol Danvers, the Chris Claremont slapdown of that horrendous story in Avengers 200, and all sorts of other fun things. This was a fun mini. This was a fun annual when it came out. It had a little
bit of everything. And it's by Michael Golden.
Oh, the art. Oh, yes. And there is a foil cover. Woohoo! I'm in.
And Butch is probably happy because the cover's by Al Milgram. You get a Michael Golden interior and an Al Milgram cover. I can see Butch right now going, ah, it burns my eyes.
And let's see. Before we jump into the annuals, there was something in the Star Wars section I was going to point out. On page 84, Star Wars Phantom Menace 25th Anniversary Special. It's the 25th anniversary of the Phantom Menace with an all-new story. Let's see, explore the earliest days and secret inner life of Anakin Skywalker with never-before-seen revelatory stories set before, after, and between the scenes of the classic movie. Featuring the dreams of a Jedi, the gift of a Tusken Raider, the heart of a Gunga, the ache of a mother, and the horror of a hero. It's a one-shot for $5.99. Lots of variant covers. I was looking to see if they have like a photo cover. But nope, nope. So, and again, I don't buy a lot of Star Wars stuff from Marvel, but I thought that was kind of interesting. And I feel a little old. 25 years, really?
Been that long? I know.
I remember lining up at Toys R Us at midnight to get a first chance at getting the toys. And we got a little certificate for it because we were there. And that was really the first time we saw anything other than snippets. I mean, you kids nowadays, you got your interwebs and your Screen Rant and all the some guy farts on the set and everybody knows it. But we didn't have a lot of that. It was just starting up. So seeing the toys for the first time was cool. I didn't even read the back of the toys because I didn't want anything given away. Everybody was pretty cool about it. We made sure everybody got a full set. And the toys, they had them all up front. You could wander the store and find other things if you want, but really you were there to buy those. I do recall seeing the movie. I do remember thinking it was cool, the Jedi fights, because this is the first time we had seen Jedi in their full power. Because when we first saw the Jedi, it was Ben Kenobi old and the Order had been destroyed and Yoda was a teacher, not really a Jedi. And I got to admit, the fight between Anakin and Darth Maul and
Anakin was not in that fight.
No. He was part of it, but he wasn't in the actual fight. But the Jedi, the Obi-Wan, that's what I was trying to say. That was pretty sweet. That was
Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn versus Darth Maul was fantastic.
And what I found interesting is people didn't like the way Qui-Gon Jinn got defeated. And if you haven't seen the movie, this is a spoiler, whatever, 25-year-old spoiler. But people who fence say that was actually pretty much how you would go down in fencing.
Yeah.
You'd make a mistake and they would capitalize. And of course, Darth Maul made a very serious mistake.
He got better.
But we found that out years later. Years later.
So, in the cartoon.
In the cartoon. Corey, tell them what the omnibus you and I are probably most excited about.
You know, Joe, I just need to tell you that history shows again and again how nature points out the folly of men. Godzilla!
The original 24 Marvel issues. Years.
24 issues. Doug Minch, Herb Trippi, Tom Sutton. Set in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Basically Godzilla versus Dum Dum Dugan.
Yeah. They meet the champions. They meet the Fantastic Four. They go against the Avengers.
He goes back in time and fights Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah. He fights a giant rat. Okay, read it, folks. It's
No, it's not a giant rat. It's a regular sized rat, but he's a little teeny tiny Godzilla.
Spoilers. We don't want to. The one thing I would have included in this, and then they might not have been able to, because it is a licensed property, and Toho is real fussy about it. They did kind of end up resolving what happened to the Godzilla in the Marvel Universe in an Avenger comic with, what was that guy with the Dr. Demonus or whatever, with the weird.
Yeah.
And while it wasn't Godzilla, it was a green lizard with the eyes you see right there on page 92, if you got the catalog, because it gave Godzilla red eyes. I had to put that in there, or maybe a little coda to it, like how we resolve. Because Marvel was very neat about resolving things inside their universe. The Skull of the Slayer was finished in Marvel 2-in-1. Shogun Warriors was finished in a Fantastic Four. So they did kind of resolve it. They just didn't say, yeah, Godzilla disappeared, never seen again.
You know what one I would add?
What's that?
Oh. And I will contact my contact at Marvel.
Yes.
Dragon Lord number 5, which was a fill-in written by Marv Wolfman, drawn by Steve Ditko. And when the Godzilla book, they lost the rights to it, they redrew the story, basically just changed the dragon and changed the names and stuff. So it was Dragon Lord instead of Godzilla.
Yeah, so you can. I actually picked one of those up. It's in my fast accumulation of crap because of that. Now, if that ain't okay, we always ask, Corey, which cover would you go for?
Normally I go for the cover of the original comic.
Yes.
But that painted cover.
Oh, I know.
Is so damn good.
That is brilliant.
That I gotta get it.
I'm gonna have to decide. Even the other one with Godzilla fighting the other big monster. The other thing with
that's from license, a later issue. That's a cover of a later issue.
They didn't have the rights to fight other monsters, so Marvel just made up their own monsters. But this is a fun run. I can finally sell off the omnibus
essential
that I have. But
because the essential, they made a big deal of the fact that we can only print this once.
And they did. And if that ain't enough, Corey, tell them what's on the next page.
Micronauts, Volume 2. This reprints Micronauts 30 through 54. Everything is written by Bill Mantlow, drawn by Pat Broderick, Gil Kane, Butch Geis, Val Mayer, Keith Giffen, John Garcia, Steve Ditko, Luke McDonald, Mike Vosburgh. You've got a Bob Layton cover, which was the cover of issue 36. You have a Gil Kane cover. I don't remember what issue that was, but it was during his run. But got to buy the Michael Golden cover that's on page 95 because it's Michael Golden.
I think I'm with you on that one. I have nothing else for Marvel. So if you want to go ahead, Corey, tell the people some of the other good stuff they could tempt themselves with.
Settle back, everybody. First off, we have a reprint of the Spider-Man by Michelinie and Larson. Eric Larson took over Spider-Man after McFarlane left. And he was on the book until issue 350. They also have some of the other stuff he did. On the next page, They are already reprinting this in facsimiles, but this is the Complete Black Costume Saga, which has the story of Spider-Man with his black costume and slowly figuring out that it was alive. On the next page, page 98, Thor by Cates and Klein. This was a story that was started by Donny Cates, but Donny Cates was in a car accident, unable to finish, so was wrapped up by Al Ewing and a couple other writers. It was mostly drawn by Nick Klein and a few other people. This is Thor, let's see, 1 through 35, and then Hulk versus Thor, and the issues of Hulk that crossed into it in the annuals. On the next page is a book that surprised me at how damn good it was. This is one of my favorite runs of the last 5 years. That is Moon Knight by Jed McKay. This has the Moon Knight 1 through 30, Devil's Reign Moon Knight, a Moon Knight annual. This is fantastic. They basically set up the Moon Knight character as he is still Mr. Knight. He owns a mission in New York, and it is his job to protect the travelers at night. It introduces new villains, brings back old villains, and gives them a twist. This is what I want when someone takes over a book. He didn't invalidate anything, but he turned it kind of 90 degrees so that you got a completely different look and a completely different aspect of the character and added so much to it. Yes, it does end with Moon Knight dying, kind of. Well, we'll see, because, you know. But this is fantastic. Jed McKay is such a great writer, and his Moon Knight run, I was not expecting much. Because even when you get great writers on Moon Knight, they tend to kind of stumble on the, oh, he's crazy. Jed McKay doesn't fall into that trap. He has a really good story. He brings Tigra in a way that works. I love this book. Absolutely love this book. We then get a reprinting of the Captain America Omnibus 2. So if you missed that in the past, you can get a new version. Our Marvel Masterworks, our Ghost Rider Volume 6, which is the next to last volume. I was also surprised. This book keeps getting reprinted. And that's NYX, which is NYX had two miniseries. It was created by Joe Quesada. It was the introduction of X-23, which is Wolverine's daughter. But I remember at the time this came out, it didn't really do all that well. But they keep reprinting it because of the X-23. She's the only character who made it out of this series. But they really pushed this as if it was going to be the next big thing. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was fantastic. But it's been reprinted more than other books from the same time that were much better. Then when you get to the Epic Collections, they are moving mostly to the modern epics. We get Hawkeye Modern Epic Collection number 1, which is a series of mini-series that pretty much pick up after we find out that Mockingbird did not die in West Coast Avengers number 100. That was a Skrull. She's back. They wrap all of that up. We then get the Thor Modern Era Collection, which starts reprinting the J. Michael Straczynski run. X-Men Modern Era, Volume 1, which is the first half of the Grant Morrison run on the X-Men. We get a reprinting of Amazing Spider-Man Epic Collection, Return of the Sinister Six, which reprints Spider-Man 334 through 350. So pretty much the stuff in the Spider-Man Omnibus, Michelinie and Larson, but it also has the graphic novel written and painted by Charles Vess, Spider-Man Spirits of the Earth, which is utterly fantastic. Then Captain America Modern Era Epic Collection, which starts the Ed Brubaker run, which is the return of the Winter Soldier. For Avengers, we get the Avengers Epic Collection Enter the Headman, which is volume two, which is the beginning of the Steve Gerber run. Those are your epic collections. We don't have any remasterworks, and we don't have any of the little mini masterworks. So not brutal on my wallet as some months are, but yeah, there's enough omnibuses there to put a dent in it. And that is Marvel.
All right. Now grab your previews. Put her on the side with that Gun Honey cover. And you can kind of browse through it. They got all sorts of fun things, including all the comics that are coming out for Free Comic Book Day and all
as
the other
well
paraphernalia.
As toys.
Yeah. Which I always recommend. Well, I used to recommend picking them up because not a lot of shops carried them, but they're on board now. They're getting the hang of it.
If I see a dupe, I'm going to pick it up because I did not realize there was a dupe, and it's probably too late to order it.
Give Tim a call at Granite City.
Limited to just 1,500 pieces.
He might order them. If he did, he'll put it aside for you. That's how I got the comic book delivery van, the little matchbox size one. Because I told him, it comes in box of six. I said, if you can't sell them, I'll buy them. So I said, you already got two sold, so you only need to do four. But the first publisher up, and these are the premier
collectibles. Yes, the premier comics.
So just a couple of properties in Doom I want to point out.
Boom, not Doom.
Boom. Boom. Doom.
Doom.
Doom. Doom.
I've been playing a lot of Doom lately, by the way.
I've been reading. There's a comic, or I should say a Facebook page, where they talk a lot of comic strips on Doom. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm just going to point on page 76 for you Firefly fans. All new Firefly, The Gospel According to Jane, Volume 1. If you are a Magic the Gathering fan, on page 77, Magic Book 1 Deluxe Edition Hardcover. A mere $75 for you Magic comic book lovers. And if you have someone who's a Rugrats fan, you can get Rugrats Bestest Comics Book 1 on page 80, soft cover. These are all due out later, like in July. But if you order them now, you can be guaranteed that you're going to get them.
Here's the other thing about they've also got Rugrats Volume 1 and Rugrats Volume 2. Volume 1 reprints the previous Volumes 1 and 2. And then Rugrats Volume 2 reprints all of the trade paperback original graphic novels they did.
So give it out to your fans. The next couple pages, again, if you have a Garfield fan, you can get Kaboom from, just trying to see, oh, it's under their logo, Kaboom.
Yep, that's their kids' line. That's the kids' line.
Yep, so fun stuff. Next up is
Dynamite!
I'm going right for it. On page 86, Space Coast. Greed and corruption flourish in the darkness between stars, with the territories of the Galactic Federation spread far and wide across the vastness of space. Vastness. Pirates, hijackers, they ransack distant colonies with cruel disregard for the innocent scientists living within them. Yet there is a cosmic vigilante who metes out justice throughout the galaxy, bringing vengeance to those who prey upon the defenseless. Some say he's a policeman who has abandoned the strictures. Should be the structures of law. Others
no,
say
strictures are strictures. Enclosures.
Oh. Ah. Others
so
say
he operates outside the law.
I've never heard of that before. Others say he's a phantom, the sole survivor of a war-torn planet. And those who have survived his wrath claim he is more a force of nature, able to bend the very elements of creation to decimate his enemies. They call him Space Ghost. Variant covers, both subtle and gross. No signed edition. A little disappointed. On page 88, you get some classified data, and David Peoples invites fans on an adventure with Space Ghost. Couple page interviewing him about it. I like Space Ghost. I've always enjoyed him. I'm surprised DC didn't do it.
Agreed.
But then again,
because it is owned by Warner.
Then again, it's Hanna-Barbera who technically controls it. Warner's in a big cash crunch, so if they can get a licensed property similar to the way DC's getting it on all their I'm sorry, Disney's getting in all their characters that Dynamite's been publishing. Why not? Especially if DC has no interest in doing it.
Joe, I'm going to break your heart.
Oh.
Hanna-Barbera no longer exists. Hanna-Barbera was folded in to Turner, and then Turner was folded into Warner. So when you see newly made Hanna-Barbera stuff, it actually has the Warner logo.
However, it's trademark
Hanna-Barbera.
It's trademark Hanna-Barbera.
That's probably for the legal stuff, but when you watch, like when you watch the new Scooby-Doo stuff, Warner Brothers.
Somebody owns it. I imagine the Hanna-Barbera exists somewhere as an entity, so somebody just can't. Hey, we got Hanna-Barbera cartoons. No, you don't. You got anything else for Dynamite?
I had nothing else for Dynamite.
Okay, I'll point out the fun things like I want to do on page 106, 107. Bunch of different variant covers that were originally only available on Dynamite.com. Here's your chance to get them if you're so inclined. On page 113, again, mention another property. If you like Madballs, if you like Garbage Pail Kids, if you like Madballs versus Garbage Pail Kids, here's the Time Again, Slime Again trade paperback edition, as well as a more expensive, but not by much, hardcover edition. Trade paperback's $15, hardcover's $20. So if you got a fan who really digs that stuff. And then the last thing to look at on page 122, 123, The Boys, offered again. You got all the different photo trade cover editions. And Corey and I highly recommend reading this if you've never read it before. There's the script book on page 122. There's The Art of the Boys, the complete covers by Derek Robertson. Underneath it are a couple more of those Savage Red Dragon variant covers. Now, there's one group that we skipped over. My bad. Corey, did you have anything from IDW?
My IDW is actually in previews.
Okay.
Right after Dark Horse.
So
let me flip over.
All I'm going to mention is I didn't have anything specifically from IDW. But I am saying they did do a monthly catalog, March 2024, where they put give full page treatments for pretty much what's on previews. It's very nice. They can push back stock. They give a nice push on a book at the end from their top shelf book, Corgi, The Complete Tale. And all I can say is Image was up.
Image does theirs digitally.
Doesn't matter. IDW gave me a copy here. Come on. You had Image Plus, which now is kind of a collector item because people want those Walking Dead tales. Come on. Get up with the program, man. But again, I had nothing from IDW.
I will point out EC Covers Artisan Edition.
Oh.
In your previews, it's on page 218. This is $40 because it's not the full size. It's trade paperback size, but it is shot directly from the original art so that you see the corrections and all the notes and everything. See, it is a gigantic tome, 15 by 22 inches, but it's only $40 because it's 140 EC covers from Wally Wood, Harvey Kurtzman, Graham Engels, Al Williamson, Johnny Craig, Frank Frazetta, Al Feldstein, and more. With an introduction, they've shot the original art for the covers to make this. I'm actually thinking of getting an extra one and sending it to Stephanie as a coloring book.
Cool.
Because Stephanie used to be a comic book colorist. She's getting the itch again.
Oh. Hope it's not shingles.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
And next up is Image.
Yes. I've got on page 124, Ain't No Grave number one, Scotty Young. Must be some new guy. It's a miniseries premiere. George Corona's doing the art. Let's see. Let me get down to they give a lot of this is from this guy, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. All new miniseries, Ain't No Grave. This Unforgiven, the movie, style journey is an original macabre Western fantasy tale for mature readers told through a Guillermo del Toro-esque lens. Ryder puts her violent past behind her when she fell in love and became a mother, but that was before she learned it was going to be taken away. Now she'll have to pick up her guns once again and ride to kill the one who's behind the threat, which just happens to be Death, capital D. So a 5-issue series, $7.99 a piece. Again, looks good. I may wait for the trade for this one, which is a common thing we always talk about.
If you look above that, Chip Zdarsky, who with Chris Anka did the White Trees one-shot last year, is now doing a miniseries that will tie into that called The Whisper Queen. The Royal Guard has sent their most capable bounty hunters after the accomplices in the king's murder. Chavro, once the king's most skilled assassin, must find the killers before they and the bounty hunters, including her son, are wiped out by the kingdom's most fierce specter, the Dark Whisper. It's Chip Zdarsky. He is one of those writers who I buy sight unseen.
On the same page underneath, Bear Pirate Viking Queen. It's a miniseries premiere. Sean Lewis, Jonathan Marks, Rava Chia. I gotta remember, bring my cheaters.
Too small a print.
Thank you.
Barabekia.
Bears, pirates, Vikings, and queens, all battling for the claim to determine what the world will become. Rendering in stunning watercolor by Jonathan. It's a gorgeous story of the blood spilled to make countries. And what's cooler than bears? Pirates, Vikings, and queens. So 72 pages, $7.99. 3-issue miniseries. Again, I've got to decide, pick it up like this or pick it up in miniseries or the graphic novel. I just don't know.
In the collected editions, there was nothing that jumped out at me. Because the only one that is a series I would pick up is actually a hardcover, Geiger Volume 1. They did the trade paperback. Now they're doing the deluxe hardcover. So, yeah.
If you're a Transformer fan or a Universal Monsters fan, especially Dracula, their trade paperbacks are on the top of page 128. Transformers Volume 1's Robot in Disguise collects 1 through 6. Two different covers to choose from. Same thing with Universal Monsters. Collects Universal Monsters Dracula 1 through 4. Two different covers to choose from there.
I got to admit, I was not that blown away by the Dracula book. It seemed like it was treading over ground that has been tread over and over and over and over and over again. The original Dracula story, I'm very bored with it by this point because it's been redone so many times. I can't think of anything new to do in that story. Stuff afterward, yes, but in that actual story itself, to me, it seems like you've used up everything that's there, and what was there was pretty thin anyway. Joe?
The last thing I'm kind of interested in on page 136, Invincible, the Hero Building Game. Let's see. Swoop into action in this cooperative bag building game based on the hit Amazon series in the acclaimed comic book series by Robert Kirkman and Skybound Entertainment. Test your mettle with 7 replayable episodes. Explore countless superpowered combinations, strategies, rescue innocent civilians, and kick villains' ass. This has already been ordered, so if your comic shop's getting it, let them know you want it. If not, let them know so they can get it for you. And that's it for me, image-wise.
Same here.
On to Titan Comics. And the aforementioned page 138. Gunhoney. This is the next miniseries. It's Gunhoney's currently in development as a television series, so it'll probably get everybody excited. After a year long in hiding from her government agents looking to kill her, Gunhoney, Jonah Tan, launches a plan to turn the tables that will take her from the jungles of Moreno to the streets of Yokohama and the sands of the Gobi Desert. But when 4 armed groups converge on 1 secret location, will anyone survive the explosive collision? There's a couple pages on page 139. Again, the two covers we talked about, Derek Chu, Adam Hughes. On the page 140, 141, the other covers you can choose from. I think if I'm going to go for this, I will probably go for the cosplay cover that's on page 141. If you go for it, Corey, which cover do you think you'd go for?
I would go with Adam Hughes because I love Adam Hughes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. You could even go for $10 and get a nude baggy edition. Woohoo!
So we've got on page 142, Savage Sword of Conan, Original Comics Omnibus, Volume 9. And you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, cool, Corey will order that. Corey ordered that back on July 26th of 2023.
Is this a resolicit? Say,
it doesn't say it's a resolicit, but it is. I ordered the direct market, which is the Michael Golden cover. So,
hang on a second. I've got the custom order book here. Usually they will say if it's a resolicit or not. Let's see, page 142.
Well, we know it is. It's just they don't say so in preview.
Yeah, because sometimes they'll resolicit it. And I've found in the past I end up with two copies, which is mucho, mucho annoying.
Well, and in this case, it'd be mucho, mucho expensive because it's a $150 book.
I can't find it in my book, but I'm not going to spend any more time looking for it. So,
and then go to page, Joe, go to page 150.
Oh, I am getting two copies of this, one for both my daughters.
Roman Dirge, the creator of Lenore, has a new book. It is a non-children's book for adults. Presented as a children's primer book for maths, I Can Count to 10 is without a doubt the most completely useless teaching aid for anyone looking for a book to teach them how to count to 10. What starts as the cutest counting book in the history of education soon descends spectacularly into the single goriest, bloodiest, funniest non-teaching aid ever. And that somehow manages to shoehorn in a sinister government conspiracy and an alien invasion into a gentle tale of lovable numbers introducing themselves in order.
Is there any reason why I'm not a teacher?
It's Roman Dirge. I love his stuff. Lenore is one of my favorite comics. I'm picking this up. They have one page and it looks insane.
Oh, yeah. That's what got me going. The other thing I point out is more a licensed product, but if you liked Disenchantment Untold Tales Volume 2 is on page 154, including some art that's way too small for me to read without my glasses. And then, of course, they're kind enough to give you the code for Disenchantment Untold Tales Volume 1 in case you didn't pick it up the first time around. So this is from creator Matt Groening. Probably heard of him. Did a little property called The Simpsons. Futurama no one's ever heard about. So that's it for me. Oh, I was going to point out, too, something I thought was kind of cool. Page 156, Hagar the Horrible, the first 50 years. Now, for you youngins, you're going to go, what? This is a comic strip that was syndicated in 58 countries around the world in almost 2,000 newspapers, 13 languages, presents the first 1,000 daily cartoon strips, including 600 handpicked by Dirk Brown's son. And if you don't know who it is, don't worry about it. If you do like Hagar the Horrible, I absolutely love these collected strips like this. So I highly, highly recommend it. Oftentimes you find some of the best cartooning is in the first years before they became more of a house style. And Dick Brown would just go from strip to strip, drawing the same style. Kind of like the old comic mills we used to talk about in the olden days.
I actually liked Wizard of Id better, but they're both really good.
Oh, yeah. So that's it for me for Titan.
Then we go to the next tier down, which are the deluxe publishers.
All right. I'm flipping past Ablaze. Ablaze is good to look at because they're resoliciting old stuff. And some of it's really cool, like the Space Pirate Captain Hardock collectible version cover pack, which I haven't decided if I'm going to get or not. But for me,
Ablaze is new stuff. It is Aftershock that is old stuff.
Oh, okay. So check it out. I didn't see anything in Ablaze that I really wanted that I don't already have.
For me, on page 182 from Massive.
Yes.
I lie Popeye. Popeye, arguably one of the most iconic characters in comic book history. I wouldn't say comic book history, comic strip history.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Makes his return to comic shops this May. The century-old comic strip and legendary cartoon characters reimagined for the modern age. This brand new series by Maurice Williams, who drew Captain America, a little reimagines a pop culture staple in a high-energy, manga-inspired monthly comic strip that explores Popeye's past and finally reveals the century-long mystery of how he lost his eye. We've got examples of the art. It looks really fun. I'm hoping it's as good as these pages look.
Yeah. Next for me, I'm on page 192 with Archie. And
they have made it to being one of the deluxe publishers.
Yep. Yep. A lot of things shifting around again. In this case, I'm looking at Archie Comics Judgment Day. It's the beginning of a three-issue series. In a world overrun with demons, Archie Andrew is on a quest to cleanse Riverdale of all wickedness. Harnessing the destructive power of a captive fiend, he will have to destroy corrupted and possessed versions of the people closest to him. Questioning his own mortality and forced to make difficult sacrifices, are Archie's efforts truly good or the work of pure evil? Archie seems to like doing this horror stuff. And this one kind of caught my eye. They're calling it an Archie premium event. So a major miniseries, cardstock cover, fantastic finishes. And then on this, on the way in the corner, Archie Comics Judgment Day. Your fate is in his hand. A couple different series or minis, I'm sorry, covers, variant covers to choose from. So, and then the next page, you get some art, a couple pages of art samples and an interview with the creators, Aubrey Sitterson and Megan Hutchinson. So I like that when they talk about, give a little brief from the creators and more importantly, the preview art, because that will usually will make or break for me. If I'm kind of like, another Archie, oh, hey, this looks pretty good. So we'll give that a shot.
If you go to page 199, with their digest, they've also got another of the giant books, which are 480-page digests. $10.99, which always makes me laugh because the other digests are 192 pages for $9.99. Again, I like the big thick Archie books. They're great to have in the car in case you end up, oh, I got to wait somewhere or I get stuck at the group home. I actually had a surprise overnight a couple of weekends ago. And I'm pretty glad I had my stuff that I bought when we were out at Mint in Box, because otherwise it would have been a very, very long shift. But no, I had all the stuff from Mint in Box and one of the Archie 1000 pagers. So was able to get through the shift pretty well with that.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get to the rest of the story.
One thing I want to point out on page.
Well, the rest of the story starts with Dark Horse.
Well, on page 202, 203, right before Dark Horse, they have a neat two-page collection because the big thing you're pushing this month are kids' comics. These are a lot of comics. If you're trying to track kids to your comic store, you should probably have, including comics that, like Dog Man or Super Mario, or they're all over the book. Some of them I question, like Walt Disney's Uncle Scrooge Diamond Jubilee collection from Fangraphic Books. You think your kid's worth a $100 graphic novel? By God, these are some of the best ones to give them. But these are the books that, you know, you should have in the store in order to try to get the kids interested. Because the rest of it's what we're trying to get you interested in, starting with Dark Horse. Right on page, the very, very first one. And help me with the pronunciation here. Anansi
Boys.
Hey, I almost got it. Neil Gaiman, what can you say? This is his animated, novel as a comic book series for the first time.
Just this like is another adaptation.
Yeah. So I think it's great. I love the Mac cover. like all Neil Gaiman stuff through Dark Horse, I just buy it in the graphic novel form because, and usually in hardcover, because I want to read it over and over and over again. That's right there on page 205. Corey, what do you got first for Dark Horse?
On page 211, Empowered Volume 12 is solicited for the third or fourth time.
Yep. I wanna, it's actually, I think it's the fourth because I had it solicited twice. One thing I will point out, all of Dark Horse's books this month are resolicits. I don't know if they're resolicits or they're just saying, hey, they're resolicit right there.
Yeah.
Got Avatar from January, Census from September. So I don't know what's going on with Dark Horse, but they're rewriting the ship and they're trying to get everything out. So check that out. If you've ordered something, I'm trying to find the oldest one. Looks like December 23, September 20. Yeah, if you've ordered one you're missing, you haven't gotten in a while, you probably want to just take a peek there and make sure they haven't resolicited it. And if they did, you can reorder it. Or you can just go for something new. Like on page 206, Dudley Dotson and the Forever Machine. Scott Snyder, Jamie Engel, a few other people, Juan Castro. Let's see. It is a rocking sci-fi adventure story about a boy, his dog, and a machine that controls time and space. But you got me the minute you say time. What could go wrong? 2,000 years of invention lies in Dudley's hands. It's Dawson's versus the Pyrdex as the fate of the world hangs in the balance. Can our hero conjure up a win? And this is from Comicology series, in print for the first time. So I believe a beginning of a series. So I'm looking forward to that. That actually sounds kind of fun. What else you got, Corey?
I don't have anything else from Dark Horse, although I do want to point out on page 213, Godzilla's 70th Anniversary Special, celebrating 70 years of Godzilla. What better way to celebrate than a gigantic anthology of tales that get to the heart of Godzilla's lasting popularity? It's 100 pages for $9.99. Let's see, the people involved, Joelle Jones, Michael Conrad, Matt Frank, James Stokoe, Adam Gorin, Dan DiDio. And there you go. There's the Godzilla 70th anniversary special. The only other thing I had from IDW was that EC Covers Artisan Edition.
Now, I'm going to, let's see, where are we next? 219. That's the next one I've got. We're under Ahoy Ahoy Comics. Our buddy Pete Krause is at it again with Maya's Bad Escape from Peculiar Island. Unmasked, exposed, the crime-fighting Chandler is finally defeated by the IRS. Former U.S. President John Amazing Adams assumes governorship of the tropical islands, featuring a zap-worthy underground incentive cover by Shannon Wheeler, which I don't see offered.
They do not show.
Okay. And I'm just looking.
And if it's an incentive cover, that means they have to order a certain number in order to get it.
And I'm just going to look here in my order book, since I get a copy of it. Ahoy. Nope, they don't offer it. So you're going to have to pester your retailer for it if you want it. Start of a 5-issue miniseries. Anything our old pal Pete Krause does, we recommend. Fortunately for the authors, Mark Russell and Bryce Ingman.
If you go to page 222, that starts the Valiant section. Why is Valiant at the beginning? Because they've been renamed Alien Books. We've got, they're basically doing their restart now. The Valiants is the first of the new series. Now you'll see on the next page, Bloodshot Unleashed Reloaded. This was one that was started before they shut down and were bought by Alien Books. Then if you go to page 224, Faith returns, followed by Rye with the Book of Dark and a new Exo Man of War. So we're getting another Valiant relaunch. Collect them all.
Yay.
And that is, and Valiant also, well, Alien Books also is now printing manga. So they do have some manga on the last page on 228. Just wanted to point it out because it's a kind of a valiant relaunch.
Yep, here's your chance to jump on board if you want. On page 230, under American Mythology, Tom Holland's Fright Night, Evil Ed Rising number one. If you know Fright Night, if you know who Tom Holland is, this is your chance to jump on board. It's plucked straight from the cult classic horror franchise, Fright Night. Fan favorite character Evil Ed is back, and he's left Charlie, Amy, and Peter in the shadows. It's a vampire without rules, without cares, and without a future. Follow everyone's favorite horror fan-turned-night creature as he embarks on a solo journey to find some type of meaning to his new existence. A couple different variant covers to choose from, limited cover to choose from as well. Perfect for fans of True Blood, High Vampire, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics. If that's not enough vampire for you, right across from it is Al Capone Vampire number zero. Check it out. It's on page 231. I'm not checking it out. I just like saying Al Capone Vampire.
On page 257, there is an ad for a collected hardcover of Faust, which was a ultraviolet comic in the late 80s, early 90s. It does not list it. Yo, I want to go to Black Mask. Well, there is no Black Mask in here. So I don't know if this is something that's been previously solicited or not. You should probably ask your...
All right. It will be. It's in the book. If you've got your numbers, it's March 24, 1450. So that is Black Mask's listing, the entire page. Oh. So I know I had to double check on that one, too. And again, I recommend the Faust as well. I just remember when we had our shops, it was such a crazy hot book because people didn't buy it. Everybody wanted it. And of course, you couldn't just leave it down in there with the old Superman, Spider-Man. You had to kind of put it up with the Dem Dare Vertigos.
It was one of the early books where they said, okay, we're going to have a character who's got claws like Wolverine, but we're going to show all the gore of what would happen if somebody with claws like that attacked someone. Tim Vigil's art is very detailed. It's very good, but I don't care for the subject matter. So, not for me. Not everything has to be for me.
No. You should bitterly complain about it on the interwebs.
Something that is for me, though, if you go to page 298, Atlas Comics Library in the Days of the Rockets. In 1951, in the vein of Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, Atlas Comics launched their own pulp hero set in the futuristic year 2000. In the year 2000, Captain Jet Dixon, then in 1953, Hank Chapman and Joe Manili gazed future further into the future, 2075, envisioning the adventures of Speed Carter Spaceman, unseen in 70 years, scanned in high resolution, restored to perfection, and packaged in one extra-sized, beautiful hardcover volume. In the Days of the Rockets will open a wormhole to the early Cold War four-color era of futuristic space fantasy. It's another of the Atlas Comics Library, and you know when it comes out, I will not stop talking about it.
Corey, you like yourself horror comedies?
I do.
Well, head back to page 248. AWA's got Death Ratioed One Shot. In this futuristic dark comedy, one too many dislikes and you're dead. So life and death are ruled by social media. When Arnold awakes from a coma 20 years into the future, he discovers that governments are a thing of the past. Society's now entirely ruled by social media. Literally, enough likes and upvotes can unlock fame and fortune, but watch your step. Enough thumbs down, enough clicks, negative clicks, the nifty metal collar around your neck explodes and you're dead. Now, confused and running on his last leg, Arnold must navigate a hazardous obstacle course in which social media clicks provide the only safe refuge, aware that slightest online misstep can be fatal. It's a one-shot. It's good enough for me. Corey?
Joe, go to page 305.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know.
The Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide to Lost Universes, Volume 2. As those of you who listen to this podcast know, we love this book. We are actually going through the first one in our fill-in episodes. This is a guide that takes a tour through the whole new set of comic book worlds that have come and gone. Fawcett's Marvel Family, Marvel 29, Chaos Comics, Captain Canuck, Badger, Nexus, DN Agents, Tim Truman Scout, Boom Stanley Universe, and more. I am buying the Scout cover by Tim Truman because Tim Truman's art is amazing.
If you want, go to the previous pages too, 303 to 304, because they not only give you beautiful pages of it, and then on page 304 is a little write-up from Bob Overstreet about this. So I'm going to hedge my bets and try to go for that signed one, which appeared a month after this one was solicited. If not, I will definitely go back and probably pick up. It's either the, I don't know, Lady Death, which I like, but I got a lot of Lady Death. I think the Truman one might be the one I might go. I'm back on page 252, still in AWA, the Ribbon Queen trade paperback. There's something ancient and terrible loose in the world of men, something that hates them with a burning passion that bears a grudge born of 10,000 years. I think this is a collected edition, so I'm not going to go too much on it. It is written by Garth Ennis, penciled by J.C. Burroughs, with some fairly horrific looking art on page 253. So, it's your chance. This is horror and crime, not necessarily comedy. Corey?
Page 328. I am not buying this book.
You're going to point it out.
Damn right, because it is Biden's Titans versus Mickey Mouse.
And we'll see how long it, if it makes print.
This is from Keenspot Entertainment. If you look at the covers, it is the Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse. He's in black and white, even though everybody else is in color. This totally unauthorized and unofficial crossover. Your favorite non-defunct presidential superhero team, Biden's Titans, had previously battled with Dracula, QAnon, and Elon Musk, but nothing could prepare them for their next foe, Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh. The public domain is to blame for this bonkers parody, which also introduces a new independent superhero, RFK Jr., as the Unvaxxed. Stare in slack-jawed awe as you read this magically stupid seventh chapter of Biden's Titans. Do these sell? I never see these.
I don't think a lot of shops pop on it. Because first of all, anybody who's right wing of the political spectrum, they're not going to order it. And anybody who isn't, I don't think they care. But if you can get Biden to autograph one, I know I'm still trying to get Obama to autograph my Amazing Spider-Man, but
there is a hollow foil flip cover. There is an e-ticket cover, which is $95.
Oh, get two of them. Two of them.
Buy two. They're small.
Yeah.
Joe.
Page 254 under Band of Bards, Coins of Judas the Gambler, two-issue miniseries. Sophia and Gunther continue their search for the coins of Judas. The Westgard family travels to the United States to learn the secrets of the gambler, an old legend of the Navajo. A mystery man in possession of a coin takes control of a small town, forcing everyone to do his bidding. Is this one of the mysterious coins of Judas? I kind of like that idea. They're hunting down the coins of Judas. So they're continuing this. It's only a two-issue miniseries. What you got next, Corey?
I am really rocketing through because I am an Oni on page 354 and 355. First up is the sixth gun, Shadow Road's Omnibus, which is the In a World That Remains after the conclusion of the sixth gun. The thinnest veil between reality and the mystic place that serves as a doorway through the universe lies at the crossroads. This band of disparate hunters in the Wild West are brought together to defeat the hunter. This volume collects Six Gun, The Shadow Roads 1 through 10. So it's only, it's a smaller omnibus than the other Six Gun omnibus. But on the next page, Rick and Morty Compendium Volume 2, this reprints issues 16 through 30 of the Rick and Morty comic book series. This is the way to buy it. It's $40 for a big old chunk of comics. I'm about halfway through the first one. it does have the same feel of the TV show, which in these adaptations, it's either really got the feel of the TV show or it just feels like the old Carlton versions of the TV show. And with Rick and Morty, they've got some really good writers. The art style matches the cartoon. I like it. Joe?
Still an Oni as long as we're there. On page 348, a three-issue miniseries, Toxic Summer number one. Best of friends Ben and Leo had the perfect summer planned after high school graduation. As lifeguards in the idyllic beach town of Port Dorian, they were planning for 3 months of hot guys, late night bonfires, and no regrets. Until a toxic spell of unknown properties on the beach transforms their dream summer into a waking nightmare. Now Port Dorian is flooded with panicked tourists and a horrifying pack of subhuman monstrosities. They're snatching beachgoers at night. Mix one part Riverdale with one part Creature from the Black Lagoon. Drink it down fast because this bi-monthly horror shocker comes packed with enough acidic sludge, perverted beach maniacs, and ill will to ruin anyone's first summer away from home. A couple pages to preview, various variant covers. What's not to love? What? Tell me, what's not to love? Corey?
The last book I have. I told you, I did not have much this month.
Oh, good grief.
Zowie, the TV superhero craze of the 60s on page 375. It's another book from Tomorrow's Holy Phenomenon in the way out year of 1966. The action comedy Batman starring Adam West premiered and triggered a tsunami of super swag, including toys, games, Halloween costumes, puppets, action figures, lunchboxes. Meanwhile, still more costumed heroes sprang forth on TV, Green Hornet and Ultraman, movies, The Wild World of Batwoman, Rat Fake a Boo Boo, and in animation, Space Ghost, the Marvel superheroes. Zowie traces the hero of the superhero genre from early films through the 60s TV craze and its pop culture influence ever since. This history in pop art colors conjures the period, spotlights the coolest collectibles and kookiest knockoffs of every 60s kid begged their parents for. It also has interviews with Adam West, Burt Ward, Yvonne Craig, Frank Gorshin, Burgess Meredith, Cesar Romero, Julie Newmar, Van Williams, Jerry Robinson, Dick Sprang, Carmine Infantino, and Joe Gaiella. Tomorrow's always puts together the best books on comics history and pop culture history. Really looking forward to that. And that, for me, is it. So, Joe... Take it away.
Take a quick sip of, all right. Page 282, Distillery is doing an early solicit for a book called One for Sorrow. And I think I've talked about it before, so I'm not going to talk about it again, but they do a good thing of showing some stuff about it, some designs. There's a scan me so you can get more information from it. I'm a little confused with some of Distillery because sometimes I read this stuff and I'm like, I've read this before. Oh, that means I must have recommended it on an early solicit. So I just want to mention it because I'm not going to talk about it till they, who knows, they might be soliciting. I don't know. I do like what they're doing, though. Page 307. Flavors of Iraq. Impressions of My Vanished Homeland. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. It's originally published in French in 2018. It's a unique graphic novel. It provides a glimpse of the devastating changes inflicted on Iraq in the aftermath of the American invasion. During the summer of 2016, distraught and disappointed by how Iraq was described in the media, French-Iraqi journalist Farhat Alani posted over 1,000 tweets in which he told the world about his Iraq. He grew up in Paris, but spent many childhood summers in Iraq. He watched fall apart under dictatorship of Saddam Hussein. As an adult, he reports from the Iraq under American occupation, discovers the sounds and silence of war. It's an intimate and discerning look at a battered country from first child's, then a young man's perspective. You know me, I love books like this. I love seeing other perspectives going on. On page 310, under graphics, I was just going to point out on graphics. Here's all your kids' comics. Smile, Babysitter's Little Sister, Cat Kid Club, Dogman graphic novels. If your comic shop doesn't have these, you probably should, because you know damn well Barnes & Noble does, and they're selling them. Why don't you? Or go to page 314. Humanoids, Soul Before Sunrise. I think I've talked about this book before, so go check it out, because I am not want to repeat something, especially since I've got a little bit of headway to do here. On page 325, if you're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan and you got $75, there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Unlimited Visual History Revised and Expanded Hardcover Edition. And this talks about, basically, it's 40th anniversary of those Heroes in a Half Shell. It's an updated edition. I'm trying to see what they've got. New chapters on the Rise of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, Mutant Mayhem. Got the complete 40-year-long saga of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, from their humble beginnings as a black-and-white comic created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird to their multi-million-dollar breakout success and their remarkable longevity as a true pop icon. So if you're a fan, or you got a fan and you got $75, that's where you should be going. Page 329, Kitchen Table Magazine number 6, the pizza issue. How can you, come on, it's pizza. Ooey, gooey, saucy, crispy, cheesy, chewy. Who among us doesn't love pizza? This issue, from Portland to Brooklyn, pizzerias coast to coast, pizza philosophy by Bill Murray, pizza flavored ice cream, escape from New York, pizza, and more. Lushly illustrated, photography throughout. It's an art lover, foodie dream come true. Oh, man, I'm hungry just saying that. 322, if you never, ever got a copy of Spawn Batman, Lone Star Comics out of Texas is offering the original Spawn Batman comic for a mere $6, which isn't bad. So, because this is basically one of those warehouse finds. He says they are new condition, uncirculated, and fresh from the original cases. Limited, though, so allocations may occur. On page 342, we're under Magma Comics. The Scale Trade, in a modern day world one step removed from our own, dragons are highly respected and highly endangered, but poaching is an existential threat. When a young idealist joins the federal agency tasked with managing dragon population, he quickly discovers the entire system is corrupt. After seeing firsthand the cruelty of the system, our newly radicalized dragon savior takes matter into his own hands. You have a couple of different variant covers to look from, a little bit more talk about it, as well as the little QVC code so you can preview issue number 1 before it comes out, see if it's something you're interested. On page 247, another historical type book, Red Harvest, a graphic novel of the terror famine in Soviet Ukraine by Michael Cheras. Cherkas. Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin waged a brutal war against the Soviet peasantry, leading to the Holodomor, the terror famine that killed at least 4 million Ukrainians during the fall and winter of 1932-33. Red Harvest is based on that tragic event that took place in the Soviet Ukraine and other parts of the Soviet Union. Started in 1929. Stalin and the ruling Communist Party began their program of forced large collective colonization and collectivization of individual farms and farmers, including seizures of livestock, farm implements, crops, seed stock, and other property. This is based on the true stories as related to the Ukrainian-Canadian author Mykola Kovalenko, a Ukrainian immigrant to Canada, who is the only member of his family to have survived the famine. Little seriousness, little history for you. But if you don't read up and remember it, you're going to forget it. On page 371, The Making of Comic Zines One Shot. If you're ever interested in making comic zines, it's a friendly, easy to understand explainer for making comic zines from comic educator Eddie Adams. It's appropriate for kids to adults. The guide shows you the basic steps for creating it. And then finally, on page 370, Action Dude graphic novel, all thrills, all action, all the time. First name, Action. Second name, Dude. Who is Action Dude? He's the bravest action hero there ever was. Throw out your Spider-Man. Forget Superman. He lives for danger. He lives for excitement. And he lives with his mom because he's 9 years old. Action Dude is a thrilling pack graphic novel full of jumping out of helicopters, crashing ships, running along cranes, outwitting villains, and so much more. All in the name of saving the day and seeking thrills. When robots at an amusement park go haywired, it's up to Action Dude to come to the rescue. Action Dude, Action Dude. By Andy Reilly. And that's it for me. Now it's time to do the ceremonial flip of the book and look at the other side with all the fun toys in that, because this is for Brian, who complains bitterly if he doesn't have his toy fix for the month. I think. I don't know for sure. I've got like three things. Corey, what do you got for people?
Everything I have is on page 53.
Cool. All right, let's pop back to everybody. Go to page, flip your book, go to page 53.
I was not a model kid, but there were times I wanted models. I just was, you know, too incompetent to put them together and stuff. But here we go. There are three on here. Two Ed Roth models. First is the famous Drag Nut car, which is a car with a monster in it. And the second is the Rat Fink, not Rat Bastard, but Rat Fink, who was a character created by Ed Roth, who was a guy who basically he would modify cars, turn them into kind of show cars. Very big in the 60s. But then next to it, Star Trek USS Enterprise refit, 1/357th scale model kit. It has the Enterprise as seen in the movies, includes photo etched parts. I don't know if my fingers are competent enough to make these, because one of the things, I'm kind of clumsy, which is another reason why I don't like models. But I'd like to have kind of a version of the old 60s model kits of, you know, the monster funny cars, and then an Enterprise, because the Enterprise toys have gotten to the point where, okay, I'd like a Starship Enterprise. Well, that'll be $90.
Well, they did do the original and the next gen in the Playmate remakes at the Target section for $40 if you want, and they're pretty good.
Are they still available?
If I know, I found a Next Generation the other day. The original Star Trek one might be a little, the classic one might be tough. I have not seen the refit, though. I would love to get a refit.
Joe?
If you're not a good model guy like me, I'm going to point out on page 52, right across from those models, there is a Hot Wheel Rat Fink fire truck with resin figure 1/8 die cast. So there you can get your Rat Fink and one of his fire trucks that he did. But for me, I'm going to recommend Brian go to page 56, pick up a South Park Towley pin. Heidi-ho. Gosh, you're all looking swell. Or is that Mr. Hankey? Either
That's
way.
Mr. Hankey. Yeah. Towley was the one who was high. And I did in one of the episodes. Towley, you're the worst character ever. I know.
There you go. And of course, page 101, there is a Monopoly the Beatles board game. If you don't know who the Beatles are, shame on you. What's interesting about this is the only way you can buy it, because USAopoly products cannot be sold on Amazon or any other third-party website. So I'm very tempted to buy one and try selling it on the eBays, because I don't know if USAopoly would get upset about it. But there's your chance to buy that. And of course, as you know, we have to give Brian his pop figures, because you know he loves pops. On page 36... Mr. Sparkle, G. Simpson, Mr. Sparkle, Diamond Glitter Preview Exclusive Vinyl Figure. What else can you say? It's Mr. Sparkle. And that's it for me.
You know who it's not it for?
Vera Brussel in the Plain Jane and the Mermaids graphic novel?
No, these guys, our sponsors. Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you. You could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager, which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files that backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net, SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a 1 month plan, a 2 year plan, a 1 year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. And because it's a previews episode, we don't have the retro review, and we only do one freaking, one geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I am so tired of just negative Nellies on the internet. Here's the latest batch. Okay, I don't know how many of you are inundated with the reels that come with Facebook. You come across something and it's like, oh, here's a video, a short video that somebody's posted. And the ones that drive me crazy are the guys who, here's how I saved this bird. And first of all, oh, you should have left the bird. Mom would come. You're going to kill it. Oh, if it gets your smell on it. No, that's not true. No matter what is posted, somebody's got to be negative about it. Now, there's certain things I don't mind, because there's some people that, like, they grab these videos from other places and they make them their own. You get called out on that. A lot of people are like, oh, it's not the same bird. Look at it changed. Well, yeah, they're showing how it grows up. But even when you get guys, like, what was the one the other day? A seabird was caught. Fisherman went over, picked it up, discovered it was tangled in fishing web, had a hook in its beak. So he cut it free. He pulled the hook out, which, again, when it's in the beak, it's tough. And then he set it in back. And then eventually he let the thing float away, and it kind of floated back to the ship. Oh, why did you kick it out? You should have let it rest. Oh, you just killed it. And a few people, you know, you should have just put it out of its misery. Oh, my God. People, don't be so fucking negative. And again, I don't think anybody we talk to is that way, but it's just, it's almost depressing. The reels are usually pretty funny, but I just got to stop reading the comments. So that's my rant for the day. Corey, what are you freaking on?
I need to get new tabs for my car.
Oh, I got to get re-registered.
Now, here's the thing. When is the license center open?
Oh, probably when you're working.
9 to 5.
Yep.
Now, for a while, before the pandemic, they would actually Thursday nights stay open till 7. They'd have 1 week of the, for, you know, they'd stay open for 7 for those of us who have jobs. Not anymore. But you could go online. Cool. So I go onto the website. I don't remember my password. It's been a year. And I didn't save it. And my browser, which usually saves it, didn't save it. Okay, fine. Put in my email address. Forgot password. It's been days and nothing has come. Okay, maybe I didn't register for it. Okay, put in all the stuff for registration. We will send you a letter with a 6-digit code. Why do they have to make it so hard? I work at a place where if you want to reset your password, and I get people who get on a computer once a year, and it's okay. Well, I show that it's your Gmail address, that's your username. Put that in. Okay. I don't remember my password. Click forgot password. Okay. Do you see that 6-digit code? Click the link, put in the 6-digit code, create a new password. There you go. that should be enough security. But obviously, it's got to be chaotic because it's the DMV, which has the reputation of being terrible. Now, I'll be honest, when I go to the local DMV, I actually get in and out pretty fast. But trying to do it online has just been a nightmare. Now, my taxes was able to do that online, boom. Other stuff I'm able to do online, boom, no problem. I can take a look. I could go to the Social Security page and take a look at how much I'm going to get from Social Security if I retire at 62, all the way up to, I think the latest you can retire is 70. But for some reason, the DMV is making my life miserable, and I'm probably going to have to put in to get an hour off to just go, here, I need tabs. Okay, here they are. Thank you.
See, I don't know. I guess that might be because you're out in the suburbs, but in St. Paul, the License Bureau downtown where the old Sears building used to be, it's now part of a bank, it's open till 7:30.
Yeah.
And it's also open on Saturday, 8:30 to 3:30.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I guess that's I don't have that problem here. But, yeah, out areas, yeah. Actually, I was just going to check. There's one that I usually go to in Roseville. Yeah, they close at 5.
So, Joe, what are you geeking on?
We like to talk a lot. We felt bad about our buddy Mind's Eye Comic we mentioned in the beginning of the show. If you happen to be walking in Burnsville Center, you might have noticed there was Chewbacca. There was Spider-Man. There was a sign. Mind's Eye Comics. Coming soon. So naturally, I went right on the line to my good buddy Eric and said, hey, Dish. Give me the dish. And he said, it's top secret. New location, Burnsville Center. Dan Juergens confirmed he'll be there for the grand opening. He's working on a list of cosplayers and some of the creators to make a big event of it. Little teasers on social media. And of course, we're blurbing it right here. So I said, dude, you're always welcome to come on a podcast, the dish. And he says, hey, I'll plan on it. So hopefully sometime in the future, we'll nail him down some night and he can give us the dish as to what's going on. So I was pretty excited about that.
And the other thing is, it's really good for Burnsville Center too, because one of my guilty pleasures on YouTube is every so often I'll see a blurb for Dead Mall, where they have a mall that I have been to. Mostly it's the ones near where I grew up, but Burnsville Mall has been on it a couple of times. And Burnsville Mall looks really, really empty. But there's talk that they're going to be sort of repurposing it, adding grocery stores and other things like that in the mall. So him getting in the mall, I imagine right now it's dirt cheap because they desperately need tenants. And if they do that redesign and bring in like grocery stores and doctor's offices and stuff, it's a really good destination for him. So I'm hoping it works.
Yep. And then hopefully like I said, we'll try to get him on the podcast and then we'll hopefully get some inside dish because I love the dish. Corey, what you geeking on?
Last night, which is a week ago when you listened to this, was the pro wrestler Sting's final match. He turned 65. He decided to call it a career at 65, which if you've seen him the last 3 years, the face paint covers up a lot of age. The fact that he dyes his hair covers up a lot of age. And the fact that he, you know, goes through tables and does all sorts of crazy crap covers up his age. But I covered it last night. I had to sit on the floor because I have to watch the big screen TV and I don't have a desk there. So I have kind of one of those laptop desks that I put on the floor and I do my typing there. I sat on the floor cross-legged for 5.5 hours. I was able to get up without groaning and crawling, and I was pretty proud of myself. Here's a guy who came off a ladder through a table, and he's 6 years older than me. The reason I'm geeking about this is a lot of wrestlers don't get to celebrate when they retire. There are some who have. Ric Flair celebrated when he retired with the last match, but the problem was that he then came out of retirement and wrestled a few more years at a different company. And then a couple of years ago, he came out of retirement again and had a final match, which was, I did not watch it, but the people who did said it was really scary because he looked terrible. And this was after he'd had a pacemaker put in. Bled like a stuck pig, et cetera, et cetera. But Hulk Hogan never had a final match. Terry Funk never had a final match. So many wrestlers never got to have a big goodbye match. Sting, who was on top in WCW, he was their white meat babyface. And he got saddled with so many terrible stories. And then when the NWO came in, they built him up and built him up and built him up. And Hulk Hogan screwed him over. And then he went to TNA. And it was okay there. They thought, oh, this is the thing that's going to put us over the top. So they put their show up against Monday Night Raw, just got massacred and never recovered from it. And then he was brought into the WWE. We finally got Sting. They put him in the Hall of Fame and then had Triple H beat him because Vince McMahon was like, I have to beat WCW again.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah, then he got hurt and supposedly he could never wrestle again. 3 years ago, he came back in TNA. They treated him like a legend. They had him in matches with a tag team partner so that he could... It's easier to work if you got a tag team partner. He didn't do a lot of, he's not doing mat wrestling. He's not doing chain wrestling. He was doing brawls. He was doing, taking the baseball bat to people. Stuff that you could do at an older age. Because you're not taking as much punishment. You're not having to do as much. You don't need as much flexibility. And they gave him a winning streak. They treated him like a legend. And the match he went out on was just a brawl all around the ring with the Young Bucks, who are back to being heels, and they were fantastic heels. They bounced all over the place for him. They took all of his hits, made him look like a star. And he got the big send-off. And if anybody deserves a big send-off, it's Sting. He was a guy who was on top, but treated poorly almost everywhere he went. But the fans love him. And watching that match last night, realizing this is the last match I will ever see of Sting. Well, my allergies kicked up and my eyes got a little watery and everything. But it was really good to see. I'm very happy for him. His sons were there with him. They did a wonderful bit where he was in a, for his entrance, they had a video of him in a movie theater watching clips of his career. Then when they were all done, looked straight at the camera and said, it's showtime. They play his old music from WCW. No idea how they got the rights to that. Somebody comes out and it's Surfer Sting in the USA costume. Somebody else comes out and it's the Crow Sting with the red paint and everything. And then you realize those are his two sons, who've never been talked about in wrestling. They were football players and stuff. They never got into wrestling. They came out first, then Sting comes out, and then you have the match. And then after it's done, he gets to say goodbye to the crowd. Ric Flair was there. Ricky Steamboat was there. Magnum TA was there. Nikita Koloff was there. Just a wonderful send-off to a guy who's given us three decades of entertainment. Really felt good that he got a good goodbye. And we're just saying goodbye for a week, Joe.
Yeah. We don't get much of a send-off.
Well, that's because we're not anywhere near the end yet.
Oh, okay.
We've got thousands of episodes to go. We have so many TV shows we got to beat. We haven't beat The Simpsons yet. We have to at least beat The Simpsons.
A 72-hour hold in a psych unit is beginning to intrigue me as a potential vacation opportunity.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for almost 2 hours.
I know. It's like we do it once a month.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most, Joe.
All right, no time to fool around. Hit my music.
Done, bitches!